Well, again, it is a joy to be able to kick off our missions conference here this morning. And I take this this conference very seriously, as I believe you do as well. And there's a reason we do, because I believe it is the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will. I believe it was quoted as someone saying, the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The Lord Jesus had a mission. And that's declared in the Word of God. It declares that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And all of mankind is lost until they find, or until Jesus finds them and they turn to Him in faith, trusting for salvation. So I do want to talk about this morning this subject of missions. I want to encourage you to come back tonight. I'll be talking about missions again from a different perspective. But tonight I want to just try to lay some groundwork for the week. I have no idea what Brother Todd Bell is going to be preaching Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I try to make it a point not to tell the guest speakers what to preach. I tell them what God's put on your heart. Please bring that. But this is what I believe God's put on my heart. Some of you may not be familiar with a missions offering, or with a church having a week like this where they come together and they pray about what God would have them do for the coming year. And seeing how the Lord will help us to even take on more missionaries. And so I want to talk about some of those things, and then I'll talk about other aspects tonight. But back there, look there in your Bible, in the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 15. Let me read that to you here. It's a very familiar verse, but I'm going to read it here. Jesus said unto them in verse number 15 of chapter 16, He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's read that out loud together. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them,
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I am thankful for this truth that we see so clearly in the Word of God, that You have given us a mission. And I am praying that, Lord, we would catch that in our hearts, and that we would follow through with obedience. We would follow through by faith, and we would follow through by Your grace. Work in hearts, change our lives, Lord. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you have seen here in this verse, Jesus is given a great commandment. We've often been referred to as the Great Commission. And I want to say that it's also repeated in the other Gospels. In Matthew, go ye into all the world, go ye into all nations, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. We also see it in Luke, where he tells them they will be endued with power from on high. In fact, where we got our theme for this this year, empowered from on high. And then also in John 20:21, Jesus told the disciples, hey, I'm sending you just as the Father has sent me. And so he gave them there. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see Jesus giving the commission again. And that is, ye shall be witnesses unto me, unto Jerusalem, and then he goes and talks about to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we see that Jesus has given the mission of the church. You know, there is a lot of things being taught now, and as far as the missions of even different corporations, things that how important it is to state a mission. I noticed the other day going into the hospital that they are often now putting up what their mission is at the hospital. And I think that's good, to state your mission, to state your purpose, to state your vision. I think those things are important. And I often, I just recently read this definition of a mission statement. It said this, a mission statement is a written declaration of an organization's core purpose and focus that normally, and I like this, that normally remains unchanged over time. Folks, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ gave the church a mission statement, and it has not changed over time.
That mission statement is what we just read in Mark 16:15 and what's in the other passages, and we see repeated numerous times. That mission statement is simply to go. Go to the world. Go with the gospel. Go to these different countries. Go to your neighbors. Go to your family members. Jesus' mission statement for His church is to go. I like one definition I heard recently, and it was a mission statement, and it said this. A mission statement for the church is this: proclaiming and demonstrating the power of the gospel. Did you get that? It's proclaiming and demonstrating the power of the gospel. And I believe that's a very accurate description. But I believe the Lord Jesus, 2,000 years ago, made this statement. And I believe it is going unchanged. Listen, folks, can I just say this clearly without minimizing other methods, in a sense, of other programs and using to reach people? But listen, God's plan for over 2,000 years has not changed. It's still go. Preach the gospel. Teach the gospel. We don't need to complicate it. We just need to hear it and see and hear what our Savior is saying. He's saying, go. You know, I have had a very interesting experience over the past 2 months. That experience is helping or assisting coaching 5 to 6 year old flag football. Now, Coach, I know you can relate to some degree. Maybe sometimes it feels like 5 to 6 year olds. But I tell you right now, it is a challenge. Coaching 5 to 6 year football is a challenge, but I want to tell you, to keep us sane, I want to tell you a lot of times it's also comical. And one of the things that I have found myself saying more than anything, especially during game time, these little 5 and 6 year olds, Thomas is on the team, and here and his little buddies, the East Jackson Eagles, they're all hyped up, and man, they're excited, and they're the guys that you're getting ready to make a play, and you're huddling them in, and you're excited, and you're trying to tell them how serious this next play is, and that one little guy says, Coach, you see this loose tooth right here? But we'll often try to help get them geared in the right direction. And during game time, those little guys have a tendency of running the wrong direction. And what they think in their mind is like, hey, you hand me the ball, I got 7 other ugly guys trying to hurt me, I'm going the other way. And they do. That's the path of least resistance. And buddy, they're taking off the opposite direction. But the other coaches that I have the privilege of coaching with, and the head coach, Coach Cade, one of the things we'll do on the side of the line, as soon as they hike that ball, one thing that we all yell out many times simultaneously is, go! Go that way! Because many times those little guys will get that ball and they will just stand there and they'll freeze. And we say, go! And then they look at us, and then hopefully most of the times they do go the right way, but then sometimes they go the wrong way. But you know, that's what we do to motivate them. We motivate them to go in the right direction. And folks, by way of spiritual application, God is constantly trying to get the church's attention to go. To press forward with the power of God. Not to get distracted. Definitely don't run the wrong way. Don't run the opposite direction of least resistance. We will get resistance. We're in this against Satan. We're in this against the powers of hell and darkness who don't want people being saved and going to heaven. And so when we're going forward, yes, we're going to meet resistance. Yes, we're going to meet people trying to hurt us and harm us and bring us down that are working for the enemy. But I want to tell you, when we go in the power of Jesus' name. And Jesus has told His church, just as the Father has sent me, now in the same way, I am sending you. I want to answer 3 questions this morning that will help clearly define the mission of our church. Now, I hope this applies to every. It should, because it's a biblical message. I hope this message can be applied to every Bible-believing church in our community and in this country and around the world. But listen, we just need to be real here this morning. We need to talk about us. What are we doing with this mission? Crooked Creek Baptist Church established 1803. And here we are in 2019. What are we doing about the mission? And so I want to answer some questions here that will help define the mission. Number one, what is the mission? Well, I've already described the mission. The mission is to go with the gospel. Some have said, well, you know, yes, it's much more than that. But listen, that is the core issue. God has called the church to go and make disciples. You can't make disciples until you first reach them with the truth of the Word of God. And so we have the privilege of hearing that command. The mission is clear. Go, children. Go in my name. Go in my power. Go with my blessings. And that's what we're going to do. And we're not going to sit around twiddling our thumbs. And it's conferences just like this that give us a renewal. As the pastor of this church, I confess to you this morning, I need a renewal. My heart gets distracted just like yours, church. And I'm praying that God would help me be renewed in reaching more countries and sending more missionaries like the Murdochs and like the Midkiffs, and so that we might support people like the Bells up in even our own country in the state of Maine. Oh yes, I believe God wants us to do more. George Stott, a one-legged school teacher from Scotland, volunteered for missionary service in China. Somebody approached George one day. When asked why, he, with only one leg, thought of going to a place like China. He said, and quote, "I do not see those with two legs going, so I must." You see, he was not letting anything limit him. And folks, we can't look around and see what other people are doing. We just got to do what God's calling us to do. We can't wait on anybody else. I can't wait on my brother or my sister. I have to say, God, what do you want me to do? And when everyone does that, oh, God leads and He helps us to go. So number one, what is the mission? The mission is to what, church? Go. Let's try it again. The mission of the church is to? Amen. Secondly, what is the charge of the mission? Who is in charge of the mission? This is an important question. Who is in charge of this mission? Well, I think you know the answer. But who's in charge? God is in charge. God Almighty is in charge of this mission. He created this mission, and He is commanding this mission. He is the commander-in-chief. He has the authority, and He is going to follow through with it. And I want to say for the record here, and I'm sure most of you, I hope all of you would agree to this, I'm glad I'm not in charge of this mission. Do you realize how enormous this mission is? Now our population of this earth exceeding 7 billion people with over 6,000 different languages. I cannot imagine being over a great mission such as this. I would make a royal mess of this mission. I would get fed up with this mission. I would get frustrated with this mission. I would get discouraged. I would get bitter on the way people were to treat me, and then I would just withhold in my sinful nature. I'm glad I'm not in charge of this mission. Not only that, but I'm glad I'm not in charge because, folks, I realize I don't have the power to be in charge. You don't have the power to be in charge. No, we don't envy being in charge. I tell you, it's talking about that flag football. I don't envy the head coach of that flag football team. In fact, I make it a point, church. I'm serious. I make it a point to tell Coach Cade often when I see him. I say, buddy, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you. And I appreciate what you're doing with these little ones. And I appreciate your patience. And I just say, you're doing a good job. Because he's sure enough, that coach, they'll have the worst game ever. And man, he huddles those little 5 and 6 years around. He said, man, you guys did great. I look at him, do what? I don't say that out loud. I'm just, thinking inwardly there. But I see what he's doing. He's trying to encourage the little ones. There's 5 and 6 year olds out there just trying to have a good time. But my point is, I don't envy his job. I tell you another one. I'm not trying to get political in any way here. I promise you that. But I don't envy the position of the President of the United States of America. The weight that that man carries every day and the responsibility, there's no way I would want that. I would not have the ability to do that, and I know that. And folks, as I think about who is in charge, I can tell you I'm glad God's in charge. And I'm here to declare to you this morning, if you don't know this, God's plan is not failing. God's plan is not failing. The one He made, even before the foundations of the world, the one He made is still going forth with great power. God is the commander-in-chief, church. Don't forget about that. He is the one that is leading the way. He's the one that's providing the resources. He's the one that's providing the power. He's the one calling this person, this family and that individual out of the local churches and sending them out to the foreign fields. He's the one who knows who has the gifts. He's the one who knows has the backgrounds. He knows everything. And I want to tell you, our great God, He's in charge and He's doing a perfect job. And we can't forget about the very fact of our God is in charge. So, the third question is this. How do we accomplish the mission? God, who has created the mission to go, and He is in charge, He is providing the power and the resources, but get this, how do we accomplish the mission? I want to say this in this statement, and I will qualify it. I believe that it is through the spirit of giving. Notice I said the spirit of giving. The spirit of giving. I believe that we go and fulfill the mission by the spirit of giving. Why do I say that? Because God teaches us this and shows us through His example that we go by giving of ourselves. We are able to go effectively because we give effectively. Why do the Murdochs and the Midkiffs and the other missionary families, how are they able to go to the field? It's because, number one, they give. They give of themselves. They give of their family and their little children, and they say, God's called us, and we're going to give a position that we could have had in the States, and we're going where God's called us. And it's not a step down, by the way. It's where God calls them. That's their identity. It's in Christ. And where Christ calls, we go. And then how else are they able to go? It's because there's some other people that are giving. Some people that God didn't put the call to go to a certain place, but He called us to give our finances. Churches just like this, when people that don't have the call of God to go to the foreign field, but to stay here and be faithful, He's called you and me to give financially so that they can go. Say this with me. I'm going to say it, then say it with me again. We give so they can go. Say it with me. We give so they can go. That's missions here, right here from Crooked Creek. And that's what we do. Let me give you several examples here of our God. Number one, we see the example of giving demonstrated through the Trinity. The Trinity is the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are one. But they have three different functions in the work of the triune Godhead. And they all three give an example of giving. Number one, we have an example of God the Father. God the Father says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Father, the Eternal One, has given us an example of a giving spirit. Listen, I don't mean to be rude here, church, but let me share something with you. I hope in my heart, I don't know this for a fact, but I hope, I don't want to speak out of terms here, but I hope that if your life was in danger, if you were about to be killed, if you were about to be hit by an automobile, or if somebody was trying to harm you, I hope that I would jump in front of that harm. I don't know for a fact that I would, but I hope in my heart that if I were to ever sense anybody in this room that was their life was at risk, I pray to God that He would help me to jump right in front of that danger and to take it. And I hope everybody will pray for that kind of spirit. But I want to tell you something I would not do for anybody in this room. I would not, to save your life, I would not give of my son, Thomas Brent Jennings. I would not. And I don't think you would either. I'd give my own life, but I would not give Thomas Brent for your life. But I want to tell you, that's exactly what God the Father did. He gave of His only begotten, only unique Son for hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners like you and me. He looked down on us with an eternal and awesome love. And He gave His only Son, Jesus. That, my friends, is the spirit of giving. That's where we get a hold of missions and wanting to reach this world, because we know our God has the spirit of giving. Then I think of Jesus, the second person of the Godhead of the Trinity. What about Jesus giving? Oh, Jesus gave. The Bible says in Galatians chapter number 1, verse 4, it says, who gave Himself for our sins. Why? That He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Jesus says He gave of Himself. He didn't have to go to Calvary. He chose to go to Calvary. Of His free will, He decided to march and to carry that cross. He did that. He gave of Himself. He even told those rascal Pharisees, those religious zealots, He told them, He said, you don't take my life. No man takes my life. I give my life. The spirit of giving. Titus declares it as well. Titus 2:14. It talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ hath given Himself. Why? To redeem us. He hath given Himself to redeem us from the slave market of sin. We were all bound, but Jesus looked down on us in mercy, hallelujah, and looked down in grace and says, I'm going to go after them. I'm going to pursue them, and I'm going to free them. If they'll turn to me, I'm going to free them. That's the spirit of giving. Then I think about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes this doesn't come up. In studying, preparing for this message, a thought that God laid on my heart that I had not really put much thought to. The very fact, you realize not only did Jesus leave the glories of heaven of eternity, but do you know now the Holy Spirit indwells each of us that have believed on the gospel. He left the heavens of glory to remain there, but He has now taken on a new ministry. That third person of the Godhead, what is it? It is to indwell every believer of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has found His new home in each of us as believers. That's His house, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And He gave of Himself to come and enter us. Why? To give us power. Oh, listen, my friends, we better get this. No Holy Spirit, no power. This church will not be effective without the power of the Holy Spirit. God has given us His Spirit, and what He does is He gives us the power to be witness, to be bold, to be effective for Him. And you know what else He does? He gives us gifts. Gifts to minister. You have gifts that I don't. I may have gifts that you don't. But the Holy Spirit gives. It says that in 1 Corinthians 12. He gives them severally as He wills. In other words, He may give one gift and one another. Doesn't mean He's practicing favoritism. It just means He's a giver. He gives gifts. He gives gifts to the local church. The Holy Spirit is a giver, and He gives. And so we see the spirit of giving in the Trinity. So we see the example of the triune God, but then I think of the example of giving to the early church. Those that, right after Pentecost, and Pentecost took place, the believers, the Holy Spirit indwelt the believers and empowered and sent them forth. And we've been studying through Acts, haven't we? We've learned about their giving. We've learned about them giving of themselves. Remember, they found all things common. No man counted himself as owning anything. His purpose in life was to support the apostolic mission, and that was to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. That was the heartbeat of the early church. They had a spirit of giving. And not only in Acts, but we see that roll all the way through 2 Corinthians. We'll talk about that tonight. Remember that offering that's often referred to as the faith promise offering or the grace giving offering? What was that? That was a group of believers just like sitting in here. A group of believers that listen. They were not filled. Their banks were not filled with money. The Bible says they were poor. But the Bible says this, that they first gave of themselves. And then they gave of what they had and beyond. You see the spirit of giving? What was that for? It was for some poor Jews that were starving to death in Jerusalem, and it was a benevolent fund that they, all these other surrounding churches, had the spirit of giving. And I'm thankful for that example. I think about the Philippians. Talked about them this past Wednesday. They had a spirit of giving. Remember Paul? Paul, this great missionary, this great apostle, this great man of God who was going around the world. You know why he was able to do what he was able to do? It was because of churches just like this who were supporting him. And the church specifically was Philippi. And he said to them, we talked about it Wednesday night, he told the church, you're the only one that's communicated with me as I've been here in Thessalonica. The spirit of giving. That's what I'm praying God would help us. Not to just maintain, but to grow. And that brings me to my next point. I think of the example of the Trinity. I think of the example of the early church. And then I think of the example of this church. Crooked Creek Baptist Church. There's no telling what God has done through this little church right here in Jackson County. Only heaven will tell. But let me just share something with you real quick here. That we know of, and we could go back even further, but then what we know of from 1996 to now, over 23 years, we realize that God has been working through the offerings of this church in helping support missionaries. It is at least the number that we've been able to give through God's grace. We've been able to give over $1.2 million to supporting missions since 1996. That's not counting what was given before, and that's not counting what was given through general offerings, but that's what was counted through faith promise. What you folks have decided by God's grace each year to say, I believe God wants me to give this amount so that we can support more missionaries that go to more places, meaning more people are going to come to Christ. That is what God has done through us. And my friends, that's something to rejoice in. That's a great victory that we see, the example of the church. Now, how did that happen? It didn't just happen. It happened by purpose. It happened because the pastors of this church in the past had a burden to lead in it with a congregation that believed in that vision and believed in the Word of God and what it taught and the commandments to give. Because if indeed God has said go, then we need to go. And we need to answer this question. Please answer this with me. If God has not called you to go to the foreign field, one thing you know for sure, He has called you to give while you stay that others may go. Now, we have a mission here in Jackson County, no doubt about it. Athens Clark, Hall County, the surrounding area, Madison. You got these different counties around us. Yes, that is our mission field. That is our mission field, and we must go. But now I'm speaking in context of families like the Murdochs and the Midkiffs that have answered the call of God to go out by faith, who are trusting churches just like this one to partner with them so that they can go and serve God freely, preaching the gospel. You see, how does that happen? An exercise of giving. It happens, first of all, by obedience. Saying, Lord, we hear the call to go. We're going to obey. Secondly, it's by faith. We do it by faith. That's why we call it the faith promise offering. Because what we give by faith. And just for the record, everything we do is by faith. Everything. Everything we do is by faith, and it is impossible to please God without faith. So when I talk about my prayer life, or my witnessing, or my giving, or anything I do for the Lord, I want to tell you, we do it by faith. By faith. And so we've seen what God has done through this church by the church exercising faith, and then thirdly, I've seen it, the example come through grace. This church gives by grace. I know Jesus because of God's grace, because of somebody gave of themselves. People around these countries are going to hear the gospel because someone gave of themselves. And we know that if God has our heart, God has everything else. God has our heart, God has our resources. And so we see here the example of this church. And what I am praying here this morning, church, and I hope that you'll pray with me. I hope we don't stop now. can't. We must go forward and do more. People are perishing. I believe it's a call of urgency from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not a call to twiddle our thumbs and let time go by without taking this great task seriously. Listen, right now we support just over 50 families, most of them at $125 a month. I'm praying that by 2030, I trust that I'll be here another 20 years, but in 10 years from now, just a little more than 10 years, I'm praying that our church will be supporting 150 missionaries, at least at $150 apiece. You say, is that possible? With God, all things are possible. Oh yes, I believe it, and I'm praying for it, and I believe God will do it if we will exercise faith and obedience in doing our part, seeking just to obey Him, seeking to walk by faith and allow His grace. But because remember, we're not in charge. I'm not responsible for providing the money to support missionaries. That's God's responsibility. I just need to yield myself. My heart, my mind, my everything. And God's in charge, and God's plan's not failing. And who in their right mind would ever think that the God of glory would create a plan that He couldn't afford? Who would think that? God would not do that. He can afford it. What needs to happen is His children need to just open up and let His grace flow through them. And God will be glorified when His people catch that mission. I like what David Brainerd said. I care not where I go or how I live or what I endure so that I may save souls. When I sleep, I dream of them. When I awake, they are first in my thoughts. Here's a man that gave his life for the American Indians so they might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and died at a young age. I believe David was in his 20s when he died. Listen, he was one who gave of himself. And what is that, church? That's nothing that none of us in this room can achieve, because all it is a spirit of giving. And a spirit of giving comes from a spirit of surrender and the Holy Spirit driving this church and leading this church and filling this church. Listen, we give so they can go. Please say that with me again. We give so they can go. Listen to what William Carey said, and I'll close. He said this very clearly to a supporting church. Listen to me very carefully, please. William Carey, a great missionary to India, said this to a church. He said, I will go down if you will hold the ropes. What was he talking about? He was talking about the call of God on his life to take the gospel to India. And he said to the church, I will go down if you will hold the ropes. How do we hold the ropes? We support through our prayers, interceding for them. But then we support through our finances. That's what we're praying about this week. We're praying about an offering that we will give that will just between you and God. They're personal commitments that we believe God wants us to give. And church, I believe we need to obey this. And we need to ask God to grow us, that we will be able to take on more missionaries every year by His grace. Would you pray with me, please?